Father, we thank you this morning for allowing us to sit under the ministry of the word. We thank you, Father, because it's written, the entrance of your word brings light. It gives understanding to those of a simple heart. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us. We pray that you'd reveal your heart to us today. We are hungry, we are thirsty to hear from you. I pray for wisdom and revelation that would understand all that is on the heart of God for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Great. Repeat after me. Say, the word of God is alive. It prevails in my life today. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth proceeds knowledge and understanding. And I receive it today. Amen. What a powerful confession as we get ready to hear the word. It's such an awesome time to be alive today because everybody was celebrating the new year. I received an SMS, or not what SMS, but a WhatsApp from a longtime friend. And I think the last time he was in touch with me was this time last year. So he sends me a message, compliments of the season, blah, 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 blah. I said, sorry, by the way, who is this? I don't have this number in my phone. Just to try to say to him, it has been a long time. So you find that everybody gets excited about a new year. Everybody gets excited about Christmas. And you get spammed by messages during this time, which is okay. But after that, it dies away. It just shows you that whenever a new season beckons, people are excited about it. I'm excited about a new season. And the reason why everybody is excited about the new season, it is because we are all optimistic that things will work out differently. We are all looking forward to a different outcome as opposed to the way things were last year. And as a church and as individuals, it's important for us to celebrate a new season. It is important for us to be expectant when God allows us to step into a new year. When God allows us to step into a new season. You see, when you're moving from winter into spring, you're looking forward to those times where you're able to drive to work in light, not in dark. You're able to come back home in light, not in dark. You know, where those of you who stayed in Cape Town, you know that the winters there, the days are so, the nights are so long. It gets dark around 4 or 5, you know. And you feel like, I'm not really getting to do what I want because there's an illusion that the day is already gone. And if we are attuned to God, you'll be able to benefit to every new season that comes your way. Because I believe with every new season, there is a measure of grace that God releases for that season. I don't know if you believe it, but I believe that with every season, there is a grace that is bestowed over that season. Our problem is we don't pay attention to it. We just get excited on the outside, but deep down inside of us, it's same old, same old, same old. All right? Look with me here from Lamentations 3, verse 23. Lamentations 3, verse 23. The Bible says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. That is so beautiful. The love of God never stops. It's from everlasting to everlasting. It says, his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning when I wake up in the morning, I hear the birds chirping in the trees. You look forward to a brighter day. You look forward to a new day because every morning brings with it some hope. And the Lord is saying, In the same way that the morning is so fresh, so are my mercies for you. So are my mercies for you. As you start 2019, the Lord is saying to you and I, my mercies are new. Can somebody say amen to that? My mercies are new for you. So don't worry about what you're going to face because the Lord has already made provision for the new season. Does somebody hear me today? These mercies are new every morning. Now, there are boundless opportunities this year. I can see some of you starting businesses this coming year, this year. I can see some of you having better relationships. Relationships that were going down, I see them being revived. Some of you who are struggling financially, I can see you coming out of that place of just making it to a life of abundance. Why? Because that is the calling of the Lord for you. He says, the devil comes only not to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that you might have life and life in its fullness, life in its abundance. That is what is awaiting you and I. I see the church growing in its maturity in the spirit and in numbers as well. Glory be to God. I see us coming together as a unity and say, let's build what is in front of us. Like Nehemiah did when he went back to his mother country to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. People came together and I see us as a unit building the house of the Lord. Glory be to God. I don't know how it was for you at work last year, but I see things working out better for you at work. Your relationship with your boss will be better this year in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he says, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I believe that with all my heart. When I start work next week, I'm expecting something different. Why? Because it's a new season. I don't know what are your expectations, but the Bible tells me, let it be done to you according to your expectations. Let it be done to you according to your faith. Whatever you are believing God for, He will meet you at your point of faith. You see, because of stuff that happens in our lives, we get to a point where we stop believing God for miracles. I was praying sometime during the holidays, and the Lord reminded me of a scripture where Paul says, though the promises of God are many, and yet they are yes and amen. And the Lord said to me, do you know why I had to put it there to remind people? It is because the promises of God are so many people do not put weight on them because they think they're just too many. How can they be fulfilled, all of them? I don't know if you've been there before where you have read scriptures over and over and over again, but you look, nothing is changing in my life, and you think, well, that is not meant to be done in my life. But Paul says, though the promises of God are many, yet they are yes and amen. To each one of you who believe that statement, that his promises are yes and amen, you will see them becoming a reality in your life. And will watch you going ablaze for Jesus. Now, whilst there are boundless possibilities of things working out, there's only one problem that we face. The one problem that we face is that I'm still the same guy who was in 2018. That is the biggest problem we're facing, that you're still the same person who was in 2018. You're still carrying the same thought patterns from 2018. You're still carrying the same habits from 2018. Guess what? Your office desk hasn't changed. When you go back to work, you'll find where you left your computer and the same broken chair is still there. Well, those of you who are married, midnight, the 1st of January, you are still sleeping next to the same spouse who had the same habits as last year. They haven't changed. They are the same husband, the same wife that you had. Now, I want you to know something, that if you are to benefit from the grace that God has made available for you, you need to change. You need to change. Now, please help me to introduce my title to your neighbor. If there is a neighbor next to you, tell them, nothing will change unless you change. Come on now. If it is your wife, if it's your husband, if it's your friend, tell them, nothing will change unless you change. Hello? That is the title of my message this morning. Nothing changes unless. Nothing changes in this church unless we change. Nothing will change in your marriage unless you change. Nothing will change at your workplace unless your attitude changes. Can I tell you something? Nobody has got power to change another. That is why I have a problem who are dating a man who is not born again, saying, I'm hoping they're going to change. Sorry, if you get married to a non-believer, they might never change. Because you have no power to change nobody. You only have power to change you. That is the power that God has given you. Hello? You have no power to change your wife. But you have power to change you. Glory be to God. I remember when I was about to get married, I said to myself, if my wife-to-be does not change these three things, will it change anything about the way I feel about her? And my answer was no. So I was prepared for certain things not to change. And I was prepared to live my whole life with those things if they don't change. Why? Because I can't change nobody. Right now as I preach, I don't intend to change you. Because I have no power to change you. But I believe the Lord is the one who is able to change you. To use the very word that He is releasing right now to change your heart. Glory be to God. And this is the heart of the matter. Nothing will change unless I change. Nothing will change unless you change. If we don't change the way we do church, guess what? By end of 2019, we'll look the way we look right now. And guess who is to blame? Us. I will have to give account. You'll have to give account. Why? Because we have not changed our ways. Your family situation will remain the same unless you change. Now listen to this. Ephesians 2 verse 10. There is stuff that God has prepared for you to do in 2019 and beyond. There is stuff that God has called you to do. Verse 10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. When you look at that word masterpiece, it's talking about a work done with extraordinary care. So when the Lord created me, when the Lord created you, He was very deliberate. He was paying attention in order to place in you the capacity and the ability you need to fulfill the calling over your life. Now He says here, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. There are things that God has planned for you to do in 2019. There are things that God has planned for you to do in your life before you sign out. And that capacity resides inside of you. I need to align myself with what God wants me to do this year. If I keep on with my old ways of thinking and not renew my mind in line with what God is calling me to do, guess what? I won't be able to achieve it. That is why we are saying we lay down our old flames so that I can pick up the new fire. So that I can pick up what God is doing. Right now, a lot of you have bought diaries, you've bought journals. You have wrote down what you feel the Lord is laying on your heart. I don't know if you looked at your diary from 2018 and see what has happened and what has not happened. I don't know if you're able to do that, to go back and review and reflect on what 2018 was like, what you were able to do, what you could have done. Hello? So I'm saying here, the Bible says, so we can do the good things He planned for us to do, for us to execute long ago. Glory be to God. Now, I want you to know this morning, that if we do things differently, we'll be able to tag team with the Lord. We'll be able to stand with the Lord. And it says, I'm about to do this in your life, but the current container is not big enough to contain what I'm about to do. Let's put some expansion process so that you're able to carry the anointing. That is why the Bible says, you do not put new wine in old wineskins. Why? Because if you do that, the new wine will ferment. The new wine wants to grow. The new wine wants to go somewhere, but the old wineskin is so rigid that it will break. Are you able right now to allow some level of flexibility in the way that you've been doing things in order for you to walk in what God has in store for you? Don't put new wine in old wineskin. Look for some new wineskin. Why? A new wineskin is flexible. It grows with the wine. It grows with what God is doing. We need to be flexible as children of God. How do you freshen up your prayer life? That is a question that you need to answer this morning. So this morning, I want to share with you three areas of change that will unlock the activities of God in your life as we get into 2019. Are you ready to hear this? Three areas of change that will unlock the activities of God. Because the issue is not the lack of activity from heaven. The issue is us, whether we are able to receive the activities of heaven. When we move as a church and we say we are changing directions, are we prepared to move? Or we say, that's not how we used to do things. That's not how the church used to look like. Can we just stay where it's comfortable? But the Lord says, yesterday's grace, yesterday's anointing won't be able to take you to tomorrow. You need something new. Do you know why manna that was released when they crossed the Red Sea was only enough and fresh for a day? The manna that was released by the Lord was enough for the meal for the day. Those who try to stock the manna for tomorrow, that manna would go bad. There would be worms that get into the bread, kind of what they were eating. And it was a picture of what God was saying, that there is something new for you every single day. Don't depend on yesterday's achievements. Don't depend on how it was done yesterday. Today, say, Lord, make me understand what you're doing. That is why we read Lamentations, for his mercies are new every morning. That manna was enough for the day. And it was fresh as long as it was that day. The anointing of God for tomorrow needs to be poured out for that moment. You know, you hear believers say, when we used to be powerful, when we used to evangelize in the streets, when we used to invite people, when we used to pray for the sick, and now, what has happened today? Are we living in the past? No, we don't belong in the past. We learn from the past, but we look forward to what God is doing. Does somebody hear me this morning? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. I'm reading from the NLT. The Bible says, yet, this was Paul really talking to the church at Corinth. He was telling them about the way that he wants to preach, the way he wants to communicate with them. Now he says in verse 6, yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world, or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Can you see the Lord has already planned things? There is a mystery, there's wisdom that was stored up for your glory before the world began. There is stuff that God has prepared before the world began for your benefit, for our ultimate glory. Verse 8, but the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. The devil is very limited. This is one revelation you need to catch right now. That as far as the devil, he is limited. The devil is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time. That is why he deploys his fallen angels, the demons. So when we talk about principalities and powers, basically if the devil visits, all hell will break loose. What he basically does, he deploys demons. Because the devil cannot be in the same place, in many places at the same time. And here Paul is saying, if he had known, he would not have crucified the King of Glory. Because by crucifying the King of Glory, it stopped from just being one Jesus to being many Jesus, because we all carry Jesus. He now has to deal with multiple Jesuses right now. If he had known, he would not have crucified the King of Glory. Remember when the Lord Jesus was telling his disciples, he says, it is expedient for you that I go to the Father. Because when I go to the Father, I will ask him of the Holy Spirit so that he can send him. So Jesus was saying, I am around you right now. It is good, but it's not the best for you. I want to be inside you. Now, this is where Paul says, if the prince of this world, if he had known, if he had seen the picture, he would not have crucified the King of Glory. So when you're dealing with the devil, you need to understand this. He is limited. He is not omniscient. He is not all-knowing. That is why we talk about the power of speaking in a new tongue. When you speak in a new tongue and you go, Shikabarata Salabose, he says, wait a moment, what is that? What did you just say? I've just spoken mysteries to God. I don't understand mentally, but my spirit is praying mysteries to God, and I'm praying according to the perfect will of God for the situation. I'm talking about the limited nature of the devil. I'm going somewhere here, just tag along with me. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Take note what God has prepared for those that love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. Now, Paul is telling us something so profound here. He says there are things that are in God that belongs to us. There are things that are in God that belongs to us. And in his love for you, God prepared them for you. God prepared those things for you. Now, when you look at that word prepare, it's simply talking about making provision before time. So as you step into 2019, there is something that God has prepared for you. In other words, he has made provision for it before time. The business that you want to start, the Lord has made provision for it before time. The job you're about to start right now, the Lord has made provision for it before you start it. That is why it is so powerful for you and I to live a prayed-for life. When you pray into the future, what you're doing is you're unlocking that provision that was made available before the event commences. That is what prayer does. Prayer unlocks the destinies and the potential that is there for us. I don't know if you're getting this morning. The Bible says the Lord has prepared these things already before time. Let's talk about the Lord Jesus. The Bible says the Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. The Lamb was slain before the foundations of the earth. You know, God lives outside of time, and when he looks over time, he knows what's going to happen there, what's going to happen there, what's going to happen there, what's going to happen there. So he makes provision at the beginning before the event occurs. So when Adam and Eve committed the sin, the rebellion in the Garden of Eden, heaven was not surprised because heaven knew that man was going to rebel at a certain time. I'm talking about God preparing things for you before you walk in them. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you're driving your car and you have a puncture and you feel you are delayed, you feel like, what has happened to this car? I'm losing time now. I'm getting to work late. The Lord is saying, I'm saving you from an accident on N1. Because I know there is an accident that you were supposed to go in, but because your time is not up, I'm going to delay you. I don't know if you've been there before, where you feel delayed, but later on you realize, wow, God knew what he was doing. Some of you were making certain prayers. You were saying, Lord, I really love this guy. I love him. I think he's the man of my heart. He just gets me. And then he gets married to another woman. And you're like, Lord, Why? And then later on, the Lord brings the right person in your life. You look back and you say, Lord, thank you for not answering that prayer. You know, the reason why God will not answer certain prayers is provision. He's making something available for the future. He's saying where you are going, he's not going to take you. Glory be to God. I'm talking about living a life that you know it is planned out. That is why David says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And he finds pleasure in it. When you go to Psalm 37, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. And this is what God is doing for you in 2019. He has ordered your steps for a reason, for a purpose. But this is what happened. The devil has done a number of things for us not to benefit from what God has prepared for us already. What the devil has done, he has blinded our eyes. He has closed our ears. He has seared our hearts that we don't have access to what God wants to do in us and through us. Now, in order for you and I to walk in the riches of His glory, in order for us to walk in what God has prepared for us, to unlock the activities of God for you for 2019, number one, you need to see what God sees. That is so key. You need to see what God sees. Number two, you need to hear what God is saying. You need to hear what God is saying. Number three, you need to discern the thoughts of God. In the absence of those three things happening in your life, we'll be playing trial and error all the time. I'm going to try it. If it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. There are times where you need to walk by conviction. There are times where you say, the Lord has revealed this to me. He has spoke to me, and I know that He has spoken to me. Glory be to God. I remember during the holidays, we were in Durban. We visited a church. And there I was during time of worship. And all of a sudden, I started thinking, Lord, I don't know how we're going to build this year. I know there's stuff that you want to do, but I don't know how we're going to do it. And then the worship team started singing a song that says, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. And right there, I knew God was speaking to me. When you go to Zechariah 4:6, say, say unto Zerubbabel, it's not by power, it's not by might, but by my spirit. Hello? In that moment, I heard God speaking to me. And I went then to read the whole of chapter 4, and I could hear the heart of God. And I'm going to walk in 2019 with conviction that I will make an effort, but it's not out of my effort that stuff will happen. God will do things anyhow. So I'm saying you need to see what God is seeing. You need to hear what God is saying. You need to discern His thoughts. Those three things are keys to unlock the activities of God for you. Verse 9 says, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no ear has heard, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, the beauty about our relationship with God is this. God is not playing hide and seek. God is not playing hide and seek and say, I'm hiding behind a tree. I want to see if you will find me. No. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Call unto me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Now, I want you to realize this, that the heart of God is for you to know what He is caring for you. That is why, now verse 9, the Bible says, but it was to us, verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. By His Spirit, these things have been revealed unto us. The same Spirit who is in God, who searches the deep secrets that are in the heart of God. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now, I want you to realize something. You need the Holy Spirit for you to see what God is seeing. For you to hear what God is saying. For you to discern the thoughts of God. And here Paul says, but these things have been revealed to us by His Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to walk by myself. Because the Lord Jesus said to us, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll send you the helper. I'll send you another helper of the same type as me. Paracletus. The same type as me. The way you have seen me operating with you, when he comes, he'll operate in the exact manner. Because when he speaks, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me. Whatever he hears from me, he will reveal to you. Now, Paul says, the Spirit of God who dwells in God searches the deep secrets. It's one thing for something to be a secret. It's another thing for it to be deep. It is another thing to be deep. It means surely there is something of value here which needs the Spirit of God to unlock. When you are engaged in a business arrangement and you don't know how this thing will work, you speak in a new tongue. You pray to the Spirit of God. He will reveal to you. He will give you an unction. You might not hear an audible voice. Because, hey, very few of us have heard the audible voice of God. But God will give an impression that you know that this is God speaking to me. Unsearchable things of God for you. We need the Holy Spirit. And he has the keys to unlock the vault that carries your treasures. The Holy Spirit has the keys to unlock what God has in store for you in 2019. So I want you to cry in your heart and say, Lord, I want to see. I want to hear. I want to understand. You see, it is possible to have both eyes functional, but not be able to see. Someone says, there's nothing as painful as having eyesight, but lacking vision. We have our eyes open, but we lack vision. We cannot see what God is seeing. We look at people and we see them differently. But this morning, when your spirit man is open, when the eyes of your spirit are opened, you are able to see what God is seeing. Desire to have the eyes of your spirit enlightened. Why? Because you are transformed by what you see. You are changed by what you see. That is why when you go to 2 Corinthians 3:18, that says, with unveiled eyes, we contemplate the glory of the Lord Jesus. And as we do that, we are transformed from glory to glory. So you are transformed by what you see. But if you don't see aright, you will still be transformed, but in the wrong transformation process. If you have a certain perception concerning communities of people, concerning churches, that is what you will understand about them. And this morning, the Lord is saying to you, I want you to see what I see. I want you to see the treasure that is in people. Because when you see the treasure in people, you are able to unlock the treasure and you become a beneficiary of that treasure. Because every child of God carries something that is so unique. Does somebody hear me this morning? When Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus, now I'm in Ephesians 1, verse 15. Now he begins by saying, after I've heard about your faith, I haven't ceased praying for you. And he says, I pray that God, the Father of glory, the Father of the Lord Jesus, might give you the spirit of wisdom. He did not pray that God would give them money. He says, I pray that God, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your glory, that you might understand the inheritance of the saints in the Lord. Now he says, I pray that the Father of glory may give you, that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened. When your eyes are opened, you can see what other people don't see. You can see opportunities where others say is dry. You look at this church and you see what the church will be like in 5 years. And you say, I'll stick around because I have seen what we are becoming. Glory be to God. You will run that business even if you're just breaking even or you're still putting money into it. But you say, I have seen what this thing will become. And you don't give up. If you go back to Zechariah 4, it also talks about do not look down upon humble beginnings of things. That happens if my eyes are opened by the Spirit. And I can see life coming out of the desert. I can see a way in the wilderness. Look at Matthew 6:22. Talking about the eye. The way you see is very key for where you're going. The way you see is very key. Before I read Matthew 6, there's a story when Jesus prayed for a blind man. He touched his eyes and he said to him, "Can you see now?" And the blind man says, "I can see, but people still look like trees. It's not clear. It's blurry. I see 2x2. And Jesus touched him again and he saw clearly. We need another touch to see clearly. Glory be to God. I don't know if you guys know the song that says, "I need another touch. I need another touch." Because when you are touched the second time, your life will never be the same again. It's almost like when God touches you the second time, he perfects it. Do you know when God created Adam and Eve? Adam was touched once, but Eve was touched twice. That is why men are rough and women are smooth and chilled and calm. Speaking by faith. But women are more refined than men. Men, we got rough edges. But when you find a woman of God, when you find a woman that understands who they are, you can see the glory of God in their lives. That is why when Adam was awakened from the sleep, he says, "Whoa, man." And he did a poem. It says, "You're my flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. From now on, you shall be called woman." So we need another touch in our lives. I need another touch for me to continue running. When Elijah was running away from Jezebel, I'm digressing now, but this is very key. When Elijah was running away from Jezebel, the Bible says he was so discouraged and he ran for 3 days and he slept under a juniper tree. And when he slept there, an angel came, slept him and says, "Elijah, wake up and eat, for the journey is long." He ate heavenly food and he slept again. The angel came back, "Wake up and eat, for the journey is long." And the Bible says when he then woke up in the power and the energy of that food, he ran 40 days and 40 nights until he got to Mount Horeb, the mountain of the Lord. Come on now. You got to eat more than once. You need God to come and do stuff more and more and more in your life for you to have the energy to complete 2019 in a better way than you completed 2018. Glory be to God. I need that energy. I need that touch from heaven. I need another touch in my life. Now here the Bible says in verse 22, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body." When your eye is good, in other words, when you see clearly, when the Spirit of God has enlightened you, your whole body is filled with light. When you embrace true doctrine, when you embrace sound doctrine, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. When you start believing false teachings, when you start believing wrong doctrines, the Bible says your eye is bad. And your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. There are people who are so deceived, but they think all is good. They used to believe aright, but something happened. They're not believing other things that are contrary to the teachings of the word. They still think they're in the right standing with God. And now the Lord Jesus says to them, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. May your eyes be opened this year. May you see what God is seeing. When everybody is hopeless at your company, are you able to stand up and say, "God is going to do some work here"? Remember when Paul was on his way being transported to Jerusalem, they were caught up in a shipwreck. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him at night and say, "Paul, you're not going to die because I want you to stand before the kings. And I have given you every man on this ship. Not one of their lives will be lost." In the following morning, Paul stood up and said, "Listen to me. The angel of the God in whom I believe has spoken to me. He says, none of you will perish if you stay with me. He saw something different. Others were seeing devastation. Others were seeing, we're going to drown. I can't swim. But Paul says, you're not going to die. Why? He saw differently. That is the first issue. You need to see differently through the Spirit of God. Now, it is also possible to hear but never get it. I'm preaching right now, but I don't know the way that you're hearing this message. Maybe you're already saying, hey man, I've heard that before. It doesn't work. Okay, well, that is you. But the Bible says, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, it is important how you hear. Listen to this. Hearing from God is important. You will eventually become what you hear. You will eventually become what you hear. If you hear negative stuff, some of you right now, you are trying to undo what your teachers told you when you were in grade 9. When your teacher told you, you are so dumb. You will never do anything that has to do with maths. Because when it comes to calculus, you're just dumb. And that thing stood with you. Oh, some of you, you're trying to undo what your daddies have been saying to you. They've been saying negative stuff to you. But let's move from the negative. Some of you right now are a byproduct of words that you had. Positive confession, where somebody looked at you and said, I believe in you. I believe you carry something special. I can see it in your eyes. And you say, me? Really? You think there's something special about me? And they said, yes. You've been holding on to those words. And your life has turned around because of those positive words. Mm-hmm. It is so important that we're able to hear what God is saying. Because there are so many voices, people of God. So many voices that are speaking to us. You hear a voice telling you, give up on this thing. You hear a voice telling you, you're not going to forgive that until they say, I'm sorry. I want you to know forgiveness is forgiveness. It's not on condition that somebody say, I'm sorry. Even if your mother-in-law doesn't come back to you and say, I'm sorry. The Bible says forgive. You hear different voices this year. But what voice will you give heed to? What voice will you pay attention to? And Jesus says, my sheep hears my voice. That's my portion. That is your portion this morning. Does somebody hear me today? So hearing from God is important. You will eventually become what you've been hearing. If you've been watching soapies. I don't know, Generation Legacy? Is there something like that? I don't know, Isidingo. Dingo? Oh, there's nothing wrong with all those soapies, but if you get so caught up with them, what it does, it numbs our hearts towards certain things. It makes us get used to certain things. It's okay to have multiple relationships. It's okay, you can always, as long as you manage them, as long as they don't get to fight, it's okay. We get used to those things because we are being conditioned to accept the unusual and the uncommon. So let's be careful what we hear. Look at this, Luke 8, verse 18. So be careful how you listen. For whoever has, this is an amplified version, for whoever has, who has a teachable heart, to him more understanding will be given. And whoever does not have, in other words, a longing for truth, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. I'm talking about be careful to how you listen. So it's a how you listen and a what you listen to. If you go to Mark 3:24, it says be careful to what you listen to. So it's a how and the what. And hey, God is always speaking. And I declare that you'll hear the voice of God this coming year. Glory be to God. You'll hear God in the middle of the night. Your dreams, some of them that used to be nightmares, they'll be turned around into prophetic dreams where you wake up and you know God has spoken to me. It's our portion. Why? Because in Job chapter 33 verse 14, the Bible says, for God speaks in one way and in another, yet no one notices. Come on now, people of God. God speaks in one way or the other, but no one cares. In other words, no one says, I'm just doing my thing. I'm doing my thing. If it works, it works. Why should I wait? But the Bible told the children, the apostles, tarry ye in Jerusalem. There's a time to wait. There's a time to tarry and to discern what God is doing. Yet no one notices. In a dream, in a vision, in the night, when deep sleep falls upon men as they slumber on their beds. God will speak to you as you slumber on your bed. The last thing, the discernment of thoughts. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. When you go to Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. But here we have been told in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 2, but these things have been revealed to us. We need to come to that place where we discern the thoughts of God for me, for us, for where we are going. Because God will always work with your heart. Now listen to me. The state of your heart will determine the way you look at life. It will determine what you eventually act out. The state of your heart. That is why we need to look at our heart and say, Lord, search my heart. Search my heart, oh God. If there's any iniquity in it, if there's any evil in it, I want to repent from it. Why? He wants to work through your heart. He wants to work by your heart. That is why he says, no mind has perceived what the Lord has in store for those that love him. I want to carry the thoughts of God for every situation. Why? Because through that, when my heart is attuned to the heart of God, then I can become an instrument in the hands of God. Glory be to God. I want us to stand up on our feet this morning. These are the three areas. These are the three areas that I want us just to pray into briefly.